Vermont has hundreds of derelict and out-of-use dams. A lot of them have sat idle for years. That's about to change starting next year, when state regulators will have new power to make dam owners do repairs or remove the structures. But taking these 100-year-old pieces of infrastructure off the landscape can be tricky. Vermont Public Climate and Environment reporter Abigail Giles has been following how one Northeast Kingdom town is navigating this, and she joins us now live. Good morning, Abigail.
Good morning, Jen.
So you've been reporting on how this is playing out in Hardwick with one of the dams there. Will you tell us a bit about that dam and what's going on with it?
Yeah, so Hardwick is navigating this with the Jackson Dam. This is a big old concrete dam. It forms Hardwick Lake. It was built in the 1920s, and it's owned by Hardwick Electric. It's kind of a classic story. A lot of these hydro dams were built really to help electrify the state, and this infrastructure is aging and coming to the end of its useful life. This one didn't actually generate power. It just kind of pooled water to sort of help generate more power downstream. Nonetheless, it has a big, long crack in it, and there are problems with the foundation. There's no concern that it's going to fail imminently, but it is considered a significant hazard dam. So this means that if anything were to happen to it, it would hurt infrastructure and property downstream. And Jen, it's failed dam safety inspections for more than 20 years. So it's really kind of a sticky situation. It's proven really tough to find the money to fix it or get rid of it. This is really sort of like a classic scenario. Dams like this have historically fallen through a sort of regulatory crack in Vermont. They don't make electricity anymore, so they aren't regulated by the federal government. They're regulated by the state. And historically, Jen, state regulators could not make dam owners do repairs. So Hardwick is not alone in this. There are hundreds of these dams across the state. Marshfield is looking at has a dam like this. Glover has some infrastructure. Greensboro, there are many towns in this situation.
This is a fascinating story, Abigail. Okay, so we mentioned that the law goes into effect next year, but I know through Vermont Public Reporting that Hardwick has dealt with a lot of flooding in the past few years. Is that partly why town officials are looking at this issue now?
Yeah, that's really kind of spot on. So this dam in Hardwick, just for example, has overtopped four times in the last 15 years. Modeling last year showed that removing the Jackson Dam would lower floodwaters in parts of town by a couple of feet. Scientists I talked with said that's a lot. Usually you're lucky if you can, you know, lower water by a few inches with one single project. But yeah, also there's this new law that goes into effect next year that really beefs up Vermont's dam safety enforcement. Historically, as I said, Vermont has inspected these dams but not had the power to require people fix them. And that's all changing. So, yeah, state regulators aren't going to let dams that are falling apart just kind of sit on the landscape. And this really led the utility, the town, the select board, the conservation district to look at what could be done.
Are there any downsides to removing the dam, Abigail? I mean, what are the pros and cons here?
Yeah, I mean, the big one is it's expensive and it's not clear who would pay for it. But then there is the question of Hardwick Lake. Removing the dam would likely turn that back into a wetland and floodplain. And some people in town are conflicted about that. On the upside, it looks like there would be some real benefit, as we talked about, when it comes to flooding. And by some estimates, removing this dam would reconnect about 40 miles of fish habitat. So definitely some serious pros there if the money can be found.
Yeah, it sounds like there are definitely some good things in there, but what's hanging the project up then?
This is where things get interesting. We don't yet know how much it would cost to repair the dam to fix that crack in the foundation. But when it comes to removing the dam, a consultant crunched the numbers, and by early estimates, that would cost $4 to $9 million. So for comparison, that's almost twice Hardwick's annual town budget. Not that the town owns the dam or would be responsible, but you know, it's a useful data point. And a lot of that is because there are something like 2.5 million metric there's quite a lot of sediment that has built up behind the dam over the years that would have to be dealt with. And now Hardwick Electric, as I mentioned, is a small municipal utility. They don't necessarily have a lot of resources either. And they do serve a particularly energy burdened population. They're regulated by the Public Utility Commission. And so they face some really strict limitations on what they can do with ratepayer money. general manager there told me that he anticipates that state utility regulators may not let the utility spend ratepayer funds to remove the dam, partially because they serve people in 11 towns, and removing the dam would really help people in Hardwick. So the utility's hands are tied, the town can't afford it, nor do local taxpayers really want to fund this. It's just really a kind of a pickle.
It sounds like a very sticky situation. A pickle indeed. Well, we just have about 30 seconds left, Abigail, but I gotta ask, are there any outside funding that the utility or the town could use to get, you know, what sounds like a necessary project done?
Yeah, state lawmakers set aside about $4 million for these kinds of projects. But as we saw, that's really not, it kind of pales in comparison with the cost of this removal. If it were to go through, Hardwick is looking at a mix of federal funding, state funds, fundraising. But yeah, there's not really enough money. And Jen, when I talk to scientists and folks involved, it just sounds like everybody agrees that getting some of these dams off of our landscape is one thing that Vermont can do now to prepare for what we know are, you know, the extreme rainfall and more frequent flooding events we're seeing with climate change.
You've been hearing from Vermont Public Climate and Environment reporter Abigail Giles. Abigail, always good to have you in Morning Edition. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Jen.